Good morning, everyone. And everybody's looking good. Not quite as good as me, but anyway, that's all right. Hallelujah. How many glad they came to church this morning? This is a lot better than at the morgue. Pray for the offering. Father, we just bless the offering. We thank you, Lord. Truckloads of money are coming up the streets to the kingdom of God people. So, Lord, we just speak blessings over each and every one today. We thank you, Lord, that we're above poverty. We're above lack. We walk in the blessings of God because your word said we're blessed coming in and blessed going out. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord, for the offerings and the tithes today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I made a commitment to myself coming down the highway that I would not get too wound up this morning. But I will try that as best as I can. I tell you, when you serve a God like I have, it doesn't take too much to get wound up. My God is good. I got a few things to say, but I just want to say this. Some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate already. So let's get this thing straight. I am an individual that fell in love with God at 6 years old and never looked back. And every day is a day that I experience with God is greater than the day before. I'll say this to you. Some of you are just wondering now, where is he going? I've been one that has been blessed with a lot of experiences. I have always been one that never backed down from going after the enemy for everything's in me. Because I hate him. And I hate sickness. And I hate the destruction of the enemy. Now, see, I said I was going to be calm. So it didn't take long, did it? Hallelujah. One morning, it was a Monday morning, I came into my office and the phone rang. And it was Fred McCray, a friend of mine, you know Fred. And I noticed that Fred was down and there was something bugging him. And I said, Fred, because Fred's the type of guy, he's always up and happy. And I said, Fred, what's going on this morning? What's bugging you? And he said, my worker, one of his workers, he is a roofing company, and one of his workers, his wife, had went into the Oshawa Hospital to have a slight operation, and whatever happened, far as I understand, they nipped her spleen, and she basically bled to death. And they rushed her from Oshawa to Toronto down to Sunnybrook, tried to save her. And he was down there all night with his worker, and his worker wasn't saved, so he just figured he'd stay there with them. And he had come back home, and they couldn't save her, and so he was feeling pretty low about it. And so I said, Fred, I said, now these people are not saved. I said, if they want me to come down and I'll help them to get things ready and get the funeral ready for them and do whatever a pastor can do, I'll do it, because they didn't have no one. He said, I'll phone them and let you know. And so he called me back and he said, yeah, he said, if you can come down, he said, they would appreciate it. And so I said, okay, I'll come. I got off the phone. Now you have to understand, when I get a wild idea, it's not good. I said, since I'm going to Toronto, to Sunnybrook, let's see what God will do. Now he's all looking at me. I said, let's see what God will do. See, we got to understand that our God is the same God that split the Red Seas. If you're here this morning going through a circumstance or a problem, get your eyes off it and get on Him, because He's the one that can split the Red Sea. Hello? See, it's good to read a story, but it's another thing to bring that story into reality in your life, because there's not a problem in this room that my God is not, that cannot handle it. Come on. We might as well have church. Hallelujah. And so I phoned Fred back and I said, I got a wild idea, Fred. Fred knows me, knew something was coming. I said, why don't you call them and see if I can raise her from the dead? He said, Earl, I don't know about that one. And so he said, I'll call you back. I tell you, that was the longest 45 minutes in my life, waiting for that phone call. Finally, he phoned back and he said, they're going to let you try. I like that word, try. Well, I tell you, everybody over the, you know, everybody, a lot of people over the years have said to me, I want to raise the dead. Well, I want you to know, raising the dead is not like praying for the sick in here. And he called me back and he said, yeah, they're going to let you try. And I said, oh my Lord, what did I get myself into now? It's good to be a man of faith, but when reality now is coming close to home, I said, Jesus, I tell you, I never prayed so hard in my life. I started for Toronto from Oshawa to Kennedy Road. I am telling you, I saw God like I never saw him before in my life. I said, God, what did I get myself into? But anyway, I told them on the phone, I told Fred to tell them now. I said, leave her in the bed. Don't let her go down to some old slimy morgue somewhere and I got to go chase her. Okay, if I'm going to try this thing, I need her at least in the bed. And I said, leave her hooked up so at least it'll look like something, okay? I'm just being honest with you, okay? Don't sit there and look at me. You can do whatever you want. I am not going looking for some dead woman in a morgue, okay? Pull out the slab and let's go at it. No. First one, let's do it a little bit easier. Hello? I got down to Toronto and I got into Sunnybrook and down into the trauma center. And I found out that it's a little harder to get in the other side of that wall than some places because it's the trauma center and they're not going to let anybody in there. And they didn't even know what I was up to. And I sat there, I bet you, I don't know, 45 minutes trying to get nurse or somebody to let me in the other side of the wall where this dead woman is. Finally, this lady come down the hallway, don't know who she was. She didn't even look like a nurse. I said, I need to be on the other side of this wall. Can you help me? And she disappeared. Come back in a minute or so and she said, you can go in now. I said, where were you 45 minutes ago? You know what I mean? I'm sitting here stirring the pot here trying to get in. And I went in there. I tell you, if you've never been in the trauma center in Sunnybrook, don't go. It's not the prettiest place in the world. There's tubes, there's wires, there's everything. Nurses running, doctors running. And they're trying to save lives. And here's this crazy preacher come through the door, going to try to raise a woman from the dead and all this. Now you have to understand, I didn't have a choir standing there singing, just as I am, I bid thee to come. This is as raw as you're going to get it. I got in there and I found him, and he was standing by the bed waiting for me to come, the husband. And I am telling you, he was not singing, Jesus, I love you. He had words coming out of his mouth I didn't know a man could say. He was swearing and cursing everybody underneath the sun for taking his wife. He wasn't saved or anything. And I walked into that situation. But I want you to know it's the same God that split the Red Seas. Come on, I'm coming back to it because somebody needs to know this morning. There's somebody here that needs some encouragement this morning. That whatever you're up against is about to change. Everything is subject to change right now in your life. Get a hold of it this morning. You are going to see change before the week is out. I don't know what it is. It's good. You're about to see change. Leave that story for a minute because I'm just on something here because somebody needs to know there's change coming. Well, another morning I woke up and I wake up every morning, okay? Yeah, I open my eyes, yeah, and the elevator starts to run. We're all right. I get into the office and all of a sudden I got this urge to phone a guy out in the middle of the prairies. I don't know. I knew his name. His name was Keith Putman. And I knew a partner of his, and Keith's name had come down through the family over the years. And God said to me, phone Keith this morning. I said, phone Keith? I don't know Keith that well to phone him just to talk to him. God said, phone them. I know long enough. I have no one now. When God says something, you got to do it. So this was early in the morning. I figured, if I'm going to miss God, it's all right, because out there the time has changed. So be real early. He might be still in bed and I'm not going to affect anything. Okay? That's going through my brain. I phone, and the first two rings, Keith answers the phone. But here's the key. In the midst of what I'm telling you is encouragement is needed. Keith was in the middle of an invention and trying to put some piece of machinery together for the farming community, and he had just given up on it, and him and his partner are ready to dissolve everything and move on from it. And I didn't know any of this, and I got on the phone and I started to prophesy. I said, Keith, don't give up. Don't move from it. You're about ready to have a breakthrough. I said, keep going. Keep pushing. I got all stirred up on the phone. I didn't have a clue what I was phoning until I got in the middle of it. I didn't know that him and his partner just had come to the conclusion that this thing was not going to work. There was no way it could come together. They didn't have this, they didn't have that, they didn't have something else. I am telling you, he walked out of that office that morning with a word from heaven, and all of a sudden the banks talked to him, everything came together, and it became an important invention within the community of the provinces of Canada. He ended up in shows, he ended up in there because a word came from heaven. I'm telling you, somebody needs a word. Keep pushing, because your breakthrough is almost right there. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Well, that was good. I even got to my sermon. They told me I had a half an hour, and here I am. Off in all these little rabbit trails. Back to the dead woman. Can't leave her for a minute. Some of you are wondering what had happened there now. How many love me still? Hallelujah. Oh, there we go now. There, good brother, thank you. That's all I need now is a good drink of water, and I'll be here all day. Anyway, I get in there. I got around to the head of this woman. Now, you have to understand, the heart monitor, the breathing apparatus is all hooked up, so there's nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing working. Okay? But I'm telling you, I got my hands on the top of her head, because that's all I had. I didn't have Travis with me to sing, you know, I got a healing Jesus. I just got my hands on top of her head, and this guy is swearing and cursing, calling God every name underneath the book. And I got just put clamped on these hands. And all of a sudden, I started rebuking death. And, oh, God help me. Her foot went straight up in the air, almost scared the living daylights out of me. I said, my Lord. I think we might be going somewheres. Now you have to understand, nothing is moving and nothing is shaking at this point. And I look all over at the husband and see how he's doing. And he looked at me, but he still went right back to swearing. So then I put my hands on that woman again while I left them on there. And I said, death! Now you have to understand, I am in the middle of Sunnybrook Hospital, trying to be normal and not cause a scene. And that's not easy for me to do. And so then, all of a sudden, the other foot went straight up. And here's the best part of the whole deal. I looked over at the husband now to see how he's taking it. One foot up, bad enough. Two going up. And I'm almost ready to pick myself off the floor. And I look over at him to see now what he's going to do. All of a sudden, he's got both hands up in the air. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Holy, I'm telling you, I've never seen anybody become a quick Pentecostal in my life. I don't even know if he got saved or what happened. But all of a sudden, I looked over at him and said, thank you, Jesus. So where were you 10 minutes ago when I started this whole deal? I'm telling you, he came around there so quick. I'm going to tell you, my God is awesome. Do you understand why it's not boring to be a Christian? You understand that if you step out, you never know what kind of water you're going to split? You never know whose life you can change tomorrow morning if you just take the gospel to someone that needs it. You never know where God will show up on your little world and shake somebody else's world because you're shaking it with the power of the Almighty God. It's not the amount of words that you say. It's the strength of Almighty God that flows through the church that can change any circumstance. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't sit back and sing just as I am. I bid thee to come. He came. He needs you with some fire in your belly to shake this whole world for Jesus. This is not going any worse where I had started this morning an hour and a half ago. So when that second foot went up, I kind of got myself pulled around a little bit. And I called on heaven again. And now I got the third surge. Now each of these two things that happen, it's like you're hooking up to an electric fence. All of a sudden, it's like the power of the Holy Ghost comes from somewheres and down through you and hit this woman and knocked the living socks almost off her, and she didn't have any on. And next thing you know, I got the third one. And the heart monitor and the breathing apparatus started to make a noise. And that wasn't good in a sense because now I got them. The staff standing at the end of the bed now watching this crazy preacher trying to raise a dead woman from the dead, and they're trying to figure out what I'm doing because they can see the heart monitor starting to move. And they're starting to see the apparatus start to jingle a little bit. And they're watching me. Now I got to try to be abnormal as possible. Now it was all right when I was all alone. Anyway, make a long story short. When I was done, she was breathing on her own. Because our God's good. I said, our God's good. He's awesome. Now, I got a few things we got to talk about here in the next 5-10 minutes. And we're not going to even get into this sermon where we're going. But I got a word for the church here as I come in here today. And just a word of encouragement for Crossroad and for each and every one here. And I felt the Lord was saying to me to tell you that revival and awakening is on your doorstep. Yeah. Revival and awakening is on your doorstep. And everyone, say everyone, is going to be involved. Everyone will be involved. This is not just for the pastors. This is for everyone. When there's awakening revival, don't matter. I just seen our brother out raking up leaves this morning. Don't matter who was standing at the door. Don't matter who made the coffee. It doesn't matter. Everyone is going to be involved in the awakening because God needs you. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do. God will show you. Just ask Him. The reason why you don't know, you haven't asked yet. When you ask, He'll show you. Okay, so when this begins to flow, there's going to be different flows of the Holy Ghost. So don't get caught in the yesterday because God could be doing something different today. What has happened in the past is so many people can get locked into the yesterdays and forget that there's a move of God that's going to take place that might be different than yesterday. And so if it doesn't smell right to you, don't criticize it. Don't stand there and say, well, I don't like what's going on. Shut up and get in the flow. Okay, it's easy to criticize, okay, because you don't understand. Usually people that come to me and do most of the complaining, it's the ones that are doing nothing anyway. Oh, that was good. So God was saying to me this morning just to tell you, get in the flow. Whether you understand or not, it'll be all right. If people are getting saved, healed, and delivered, that's good. Okay, that's good. I love it. I said, that's good. Now, that's sermon number 3. It's all right. Now we're going to get down into something serious, okay? Because this is very serious, and it hit me pretty hard when I was sitting here, and that's why I started to cry, because my heart started to melt when I get into this. Someone here, see, when I came in here and I said, Lord, I can preach a good sermon, but I need the revelation of the moment. I need to know what God wants to say. And the Lord was really, well, he impressed on me that there's someone here that is dabbling in the occult. Now we're getting down to it, okay? I wasn't going to get into this. Well, I didn't. I shouldn't say I wasn't going to get into it. I didn't even have it on my brain to do this morning. But when this came to me, he said, just tell them the story real quick. Because you have to understand, when you start dabbling in the occult, the devil will take you into a realm that there's no return. And you might think it looks fancy at this very moment, but it's not good. I've dealt with this. There's so much today, and so much in the media and television and movies, and you know, I don't want to go down this road, but even right now, this whole area, there's lots of families here, so pay attention to me. Pay attention to what's going on at your school, because there's another area that I'm just start looking into it, and it's already come across my office, is this Charlie thing. And some of you don't even know what that is. That's good. Just talk to your pastor, because I don't have time to get into it. But I'm going back to it. When you dabble in the occult, you're going into a realms that you have no business there. And understand this. When you're in the occult, the devil's only in there to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. Are you with me? I said this on. I had a call at 9:30 one night. Oh, God, I don't want to get into this. But I feel it. I feel somebody's here. You're struggling. You're going somewhere where it's not good. And I don't know this crowd, so it's just good, but I have it in my spirit. When I get it this heavy, I know there's something burning. But one night at 9:30 at night, I just got home from the office, and my stepdaughter just got a phone call, and it was a young lad, 15 years old. He was down the number 2 highway, ready to commit suicide. Ready to commit suicide. And so, anyway, we got him off the highway. We rescued him before he done it. And I took him up to the house. Now, you have to understand, this boy never went to a church like you guys are here. And he come up to the house, and he was living in he was in so much fear that his hands were totally disformed. He couldn't even hold a bottle of water. His mouth was so dry. Life was almost sucked out of him without even doing it. And so when I brought him up to the house and I looked at this, I had to call his mom, and they didn't, as I said, to come from a church background. And I brought her into the house, and here's her son sitting there that this horrible experience had just happened. And I talked to him for a little bit as best I could, and then I looked at the mother. And I said, what's wrong with your son is a pill will never cure him. I said, there's not a psychiatric ward that will be able to handle him. Because I had found out that he had been in the psychiatric ward. And I said, I can tell you what's wrong with your son if you want me to. And she looked up and she said, yes, I want to know. I said, your son has got a very bad infestation of demons. Now, if I told that to most Pentecostals, I'd have to explain it 25 different ways. But with her not understanding what her son was into, I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, I'm glad I found you. See, this should be the voice of the church. The world needs to say, I'm glad I found yous. Because we have an answer. And our answer is not found in a medical field, but it's found in Almighty God. I'm coming back to this because there's somebody here involved in the occult, because it comes down to this. So at that moment, I just dealt with it on a level that I had to and set everything aside and brought him back to reality. And I said, I set the demonic realm aside till I deal with it later. And so brought him back. So I started working with him in the next few weeks. And what had happened was he got into the occult through the internet. Parents, internet. It's not meant to be in a room hid somewheres. If your kids are on the internet, listen to me. Are you listening? I'm a dad. I'm a pastor. But I know the realms of the occult. Leave the door open and you can walk in at any time. Hello. He got into the occult. He got into astral projection. How many knows what that is? Some of you do, some of you don't. Astral projection, he was able to lay in his bed and go out and play with his friends. He got so far out into the occult, he couldn't get back. He was so far into the Ouija board that when I found that out and I got him to set that aside, he put it out in the garbage, went away and came back, and the demonic realm had already taken it out of the garbage and put it back in his room. Now you say, I don't understand, don't try even understand it. All I'm trying to tell somebody here, I'm sending you a warning signal that the enemy will take you farther than what you'd ever dream. And that's what happened with him. Anyway, make a long story short, I brought him back, and after a few weeks, there were 70 demonic realms living in him that was all related to the occult. And 5 that wasn't. Set him totally free. See, we can't play with this, and whoever this is this morning, I'm just saying to you, get rid of everything from horoscope to dovoscope. Whatever doboscope is, I don't know. Okay, get rid of it all. Parents, you have no right having anything to do with the occult in your house. Can I give you one more? I don't know why I'm going on this. What time do I keep going for another minute? I'm totally 100% off my sermon. See, we don't understand. There was another phone call one day, and a mom phoned up with her mom. The mom showed up at my office with her 15-year-old son. I call it falling off the pumpkin wagon. That's what we had on the farm, okay? It's when somebody falls off the pumpkin wagon, it's like they hit their head and they don't know what day it is, okay? Her son was beating holes in the wall and throwing fits in the home and throwing havoc from one end of the house to the other. And she said, can you help me? And I said, yes. I started working with him. Here's where this one came, and I'm warning parents again. You have to pay attention of today. After I got into all this and working with him, there was a lot of things. But one of the key things was this. I sent him down for his final debut with it and bring him totally deliverance. And here's, and I won't get into that because I can see some of you might get scared, so I better not. Amen. Hallelujah. But here's what happened. The parents, now young people say parents, they might be good looking, but sometimes they make mistakes. Okay? What happened was they brought in Harry Potter movies. Oh, yeah. And the same demonic realm that was in them Harry Potters was living in that boy. And we totally 100% set him free. And he went home and he hugged his dad and said, sorry for what I've been around here. totally went home changed. And I was talking to his grandfather here not too long ago, and I said, "How is your grandson doing?" He looked at me with a big smile. He said, "He's getting ready to go to university. He's got a driver's license now, and he's 100%. So whoever it is, go home and clean house. Go home and clean house. Parents, clean house. The internet's full of it. Shut it down. I mean, I was thinking about the other day. I was thinking, you know, I mean, when my kids were coming through, all we had to do was, we used to preach about, you know, the devil in the corner called the TV. Now we've got the internet in the corner. We got the internet all over the house. Everything's filtered down into our homes. And we don't know what's going on half the time. Parents, you're still in charge when your kids are living at home. Well, now, okay, let's move on. Earl? What time are we going home, dear? Let's go over this real quick and then we'll move on. Have I got 5 more minutes? I don't know why I got on all that, but I had to. Everybody still happy with me? I'm only interested in your soul and your well-being and your peace, because there's a thief that steals, and he steals pretty... Somebody's got something stealing in your home, and you just got to start checking and see where it's coming from. Let's keep going for another minute, since I'm on it. There's another area that we had to deal with when we're dealing with these young people in this. Are you ready? Say, "I'm ready, young fella." Say, "I'm more than just good looking." That's good. Okay, now you and I are going to talk, okay? Here's an area that I found with young people today and with parents they have absolutely no control over, is texting. If you have heard the stories that I have heard from parents and what's going on in our schools, it would make a horse sick. Texting can be right from the pit of hell. This young lad that I was talking about, one of the things that drove that boy too was I was praying. I said, "Lord, how can I help this young person?" He said, "Check out his texting." Now, that's like hooking yourself up to a live wire when you start doing that. But I'm not in it to make somebody happy. I'm in it to make them free. And I could not believe what young people are doing and what they're sending back and forth today. Can I go a little bit further? Everybody wanted a little bit more? Texting is, and then they start sending pictures. There's a school in Whitby, and I won't quote the name of the school. Young boys are taking pictures of their naked girls and send them to the... And they got this thing going back and forth in school and who can get the better pictures. And the girls are involved in it as well as the boys. Parents, pay attention. Boy, it got quiet in here like a Presbyterian church real quick. See, I can talk to you like this because I deal with it all the time. My ministry is not just pastoring. I'm in the middle of all this. Can I use a word that's not good? Yeah, you're all right. You look pretty tough, so you and I can handle it. It's a lot of crap that's coming from the pit of hell. And we're naive to it. And we put up with it. And we wonder why we got this going on and that going on. And I want you to know, hell is being dumped on society today like we have never seen before. That's right. And I'm involved in it probably more than most, because that's what we work on. We work to set people free, that the pastor doesn't have time to do what we do. It takes hours and hours sometimes to get into what's going on in people's lives and sort it out and take and shake down the devil and see where he's been getting in and then shake him out. And that takes time. It takes time. But the good news is, I love it. Yes, that's right. It's nothing better than see a young person turned around or an adult or whoever. There's nothing better to take the enemy on. One day I was in the middle of a good one and the devil just talked to me and he said, I'm going to kill you and your family. And I said, you're a joke. I said, you couldn't kill a flea because my Jesus stripped you a long time ago and you're just throwing a big bluff. So because of that, I'm not getting in no hurry. I'm going to tantalize you for a half an hour in the name of Jesus, drive you nuts. And then when I get my time, I will take and I'll destroy your nest before I'm done here tonight. And that's exactly what I've done because I know my God is greater. Hallelujah. Acts 10:38. I'll give you a scripture verse. I know I had to give you one before I go home. Here's where I was going to go before I get in. I asked the Lord coming down the highway that I want to just give you what God wanted me to give you. And all my notes is absolutely nothing to do with that. And I'm just sitting there and I never really wanted to get into all that till we get into worship. And all of a sudden this all started coming back to me. And especially this area where somebody's into the occult. Because my heart goes out to this and I see it. Vampire movies, everything out of movies, everything from the... You look at what's advertised on TV today about movies and everything. I am telling you, folks, it's time to clean house in the church so we can have a revival. If you're going to mess around with the things of the devil, we can't have a revival. Let's get the church cleaned out so we can have a revival. You mean it's like a church was praying. Here I go again. Oh, God, help me. We're going to have a revival. There's a church praying, oh, God, give us revival. Oh, God, give us revival. And they're upstairs and hammering heaven, altar, praying, oh, God, give us revival. And God spoke to them and said, what's going on downstairs? And downstairs they were having the brownies. How many ever tell me the brownies? Do you know what the brownies means? That girls' organization? Okay, the brownies. Oh, yeah, you ever heard of brownies? Come on, some of your older folks know what the brownies are. Don't look at me like that. They're having the brownies. And God said, go down there and clean house. Because the brownies is hooked to Freemason. Freemason and the brownies is the girl's side to Freemason. Are you listening to me? Some of you are looking at me now kind of strange. I opened up another nest. And they went down and kicked out the brownies and had revival. We got a clean house here, folks, because God spoke to you before I started here that this place is ready for awakening. And if we're going to have awakening, the judgment of God starts always in the house of God. And get the thing cleaned out, because if you're dabbling in the occult here, what are you going to do with the occult when it walks in here? Are you listening to me? Let's get some purity through the doors of the church once again so we can have a flow of the Holy Ghost that is so pure that it's going to drive the devil nuts. We got in our society today called the church world. We got more sin in the camp than what we need. I'm fed up with it. When I was a kid, fornication was called fornication. Today we call it living together. Oh, okay, let's move on. Acts 10:38. But we got a clean house. Who wants revival? Yeah. I said, who wants revival? Yes, yes, yes. Who wants a stir of God? I do. And the way I'm talking to you today is this, because this church is ripe for a revival and we're just putting the final touches on it so it can flow. Okay, how many have heard of the Third Great Awakening? You ever heard of it? Do you know where it started? It started in Hamilton. Because there was a people hungry for God. In a few days, 6,000 people got saved in Hamilton. It moved from Hamilton into New York and it started then the Third Awakening. All I'm saying to you is, these streets out here are going to be ripe with revival. And we start here and it moves to there. when the presence of God moves, it always moves out of the four walls and into a community that needs the touch of Almighty God. We're living in a world that needs the touch of the Almighty God, and He's calling you and I to be the people to run with it. And when I talk to you about getting sin out of the camp, I'm not doing it because I want to holler at you. I'm giving it to you because heaven says revival is knocking at your door. It's knocking at your door because there's people out there, their door is knocking for you. Okay. I'm struggling now with all this because this is not going where I wanted it to. But it's going where God wanted it to. Because this generation needs a touch of Almighty God. The occult is running rampant. But we need to have the church stronger than the occult. But if we're dabbling in the occult, we can't have it. A woman came into my office. And she sat down and she wanted help. And she said, I'm in a new age. I said, all right, I'm into Jesus, and if New Age could help you, you wouldn't be in here looking for my Jesus. But your New Age cannot help you, and the occult can't help you, but my Jesus can, and I'm here to set you free from New Age. She got set free and walked out with the Rock of Ages, and God delivered her and healed her because we brought Jesus in the midst of the occult. Everybody still happy? I told you at the beginning of this I wasn't going to holler, but that didn't happen, did it? Wouldn't be you, dear. Wouldn't be me. Somebody said, could you holler? Say anything without hollering? No. But I'm here to bring freedom to this world because we're on the verge of one of the greatest moves and flows of God. And I know it in my heart. That the things of the yesterday are only going to be a shadow of what is about to birth to the church. And He's calling the church to a place of a higher standard so He can bring a higher standard to out there. Do you want another good one? What? Travis told me you all want to go home for your chicken dinner at 10 after 12 and here it's quarter after. No, he didn't. There's a church in the States that is now moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. And they have in their services, when they come in, they have four people at each corner sitting that is fired up and that are on a heavenly wave like no other. They're just folks, okay? But they're prayed up, but they had everything flushed out. That nothing is going to stop them from walking in the demonstration of the power of God. And the minute, in this part where they are, there's lots of witches and lots of the demonic activity. And all of a sudden, somebody will walk in that is totally into the occult. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, they say it's like electricity will go off and it'll ping from one to the next and it'll go right around the room and throw the devil in such a fizzy fit. The person that had just come in with to tear up the service runs out of the building like no tomorrow and nobody said a word to them. But you know what the good part of it is? Then they got another crew that is all ready for this. And they'll chase them out of the street and stop them in the middle of the street and get them saved right there and bring them back into the service to enjoy the presence of God. Are you listening to me? We're living in a different time and an age, and the church needs to be on a realm of the power of God like we never did before. This is not an individual thing. This is a cooperative anointing that causes the devil to run nuts, but you can set them people free with the power of God when we come into that cooperative anointing. And God said you are ready for that cooperative anointing to happen, but there's a few things that's got to be adjusted in the realm of the Spirit in homes here and individual lives. And when you start to adjust your home, you're going to bring the cooperative anointing to another level. But until you adjust your you're at home, you're not going to have this corporate anointing that you need. I'm prophesying to you and tell you that right now, by the blessings of God, there's some in here that is going to go home now, and you're going to make some adjustments. You're going to make some changes. You're going to begin to see things in your home that you put up with, and you're not going to put up with them any longer, because the prophet stood here today and told you now the judgment of God's coming into your home, because there's a corporate anointing boat ready to be released there that's going to bring up and down these streets, and people are going to come in here that need change, but they need each one of you to come into a level of that, a cooperative anointing. But it always starts within the home, and it starts within your own personal life. It starts what you're watching on the boot tube. It shows you what you're watching. I'm telling you, you got to go home now and cleanse your home, because the anointing is going to increase in here, because it needs to increase, because there's people that are going to come in here with cancer. They're going to come in here with every disease known to mankind, and there's going to be healings that will come through the door. Why? Because the church has come into another realm of thought, through the realm of cleansing, into the place of holiness. Holiness are brought in the presence of God, and you're going to see things happen, and people are not even going to be touched by the power by people. They're going to be touched by the power of God, because people got right with God before they came in. But until you go home and you begin to rise up to another level of thought within your home and take these things a lot more serious than what you are, you can't play with the devil, because the devil will take you on a trip that you will not want to go on. It's time for you now to come into a place within your life and within your home. And because this man that's not here today, they've prayed, there's people prayed here, and there's things that are about ready to happen. And if you don't, during this judgment will come. It will come. And you'll be wishing you bowed your knee at this very moment, because when he starts to move, you will bow your knee, because God has a work to do, and it's going to happen. And this town is ripe for a move of God, and you're about ready to see things. You talk about raising the dead, that's going to be a mild thing, but what is about to happen. Wheelchairs are going to be empty. Beds are going to come in here. I want you to know things are going to happen. When things start to happen, the world is going to say, what is going on at Crossroads? And they'll flock in here by the thousands, because the move of God has happened. Why did it happen? It's because you took the things of God seriously at this very moment. Yeah. Don't ask me to repeat all that. Amen. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Yes. Yes. Okay, God, shut that message off. Didn't even get to Acts 10:38. Yes. But it's good. Yes. It's good. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. It's good. Yes. I tell you, it's good. I feel it. Yes. I feel it. Yes. I feel it in my belly. I feel it. I've been in enough places, and I know it. I feel it. When I walked in here, I'm sitting here, and I'm not just saying it because I know Travis. Travis knows that, okay? He can call me up and ring me out if he wants. You know what I mean? We know that. We have a good relationship. I didn't come in here just to prophesy and make you look good. I came in here to tell you there's a word from heaven. There's a move of God shaking. The vine is ready to be picking. And there's just a few adjustments. There's a few adjustments. You know who I'm talking to. You're watching that pornography on the internet. You got to get rid of it. You say, I can't. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Get down on your knees and repent and say, God, help me. And once you ask God to help you to get rid of it, he'll help you. The one that's dabbling in the occult here, go home and clean house. You say, I can't do that. My kids are going to get mad. Let them get mad, because the power of God's greater than them getting mad. My parents never worried about me getting mad at them. We went to the woodshed, which we don't have anymore. My mom had a 3-foot stick, and we call it child abuse today. Back in my day, we call it correction. And I'm still breathing. Hello? We need to bring some correction back so we can have the power of God in the house. We got the world running the church instead of the church running the world. Are you listening to me? We got too much out of order right now, and God says, I'm bringing this church back into full order, because there's an order coming from heaven, and it's good. The banquet table is spread wide.
Yes, it is.
Oh, God, help me. What did I get myself into this morning? But it's good. It's good. The schools need it.
Yes, yes.
The schools need it. Sex education, everything going on, and all the garbage going down the chute today. We need it. Everything but homosexuality and all that's going on and this and that. And people can't figure out which washroom to move into. We got a sick society. We do. But we got to get the church up to another level so we can have a voice in this sick society and begin to speak truth, because truth will set the sick society free. But if we're sick ourselves, we can't set no one free. And so that's all I'm doing. I'm tired of all the voices out there. We need a voice in here. Amen? Hello? And so God's calling you. Hallelujah. I'm all done.
Thank you, brother. That was a good word. How many received that today? Amen? Could we have the worship team come back? And I just feel as well, Earl, if you want to pray, if anyone needs prayer this morning. There's a strong anointing of faith here. You need prayer for a certain situation. Pastor Earl will pray with you so you can come to the front as we close in worship. Your kids are upstairs, so if you can sign them out, that'd be awesome. And then come back. Get your kids and come back and worship and stay in the flow of the Spirit, but get your kids. And we'll move on. Amen?